Welcome, everybody, to episode 12 of the WP Mainline Podcast for Thursday, September 16th, 2021. I am your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by absolutely no one. You know, what's going on here? I've got two co-hosts that switch out duties on the show, and none of them are available today. So I'm flying solo, but not exactly solo. I've got some awesome guests lined up on the show today. First up is Aaron Edwards. Aaron, thanks a lot for joining the show.
Thank you.
And next up, we have Josh Daly. Josh, thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having us. I'm super excited to be here.
And the reason why I have these two gentlemen on the show is because they are part of the Web3 WP project. And if you haven't been following WPMainline.com, first off, why the hell not? You know, that should be one of your main priorities during the week. I'm only messing, but I recently wrote an article covered their project. They're creating a collectible WAPU NFT, which will fund additional experiments with the Web 3.0 and what that entails. And half of the proceeds will go to the WordPress Foundation. So I thought it was apt to get these gentlemen on the show. This is an interesting take on WAPU, and we're going to learn some things about what NFTs are, what this is all about. I got to say, I've been kind of looking at NFTs from an outside looking in. I follow Chris Wallace on Twitter, and he's really big into NFTs and yes. Tezos and blockchains and what's going on. And I'm also seeing, it seems to me like these people are creating digital art or JPEGs, and they're selling for these. I think it's Ethereum. That's how you pronounce it. It's a cryptocurrency and Ethereum. I mean, these images and artwork are going for thousands of dollars. And I'm like, you know, maybe I should go back into my DeviantArt gallery, remove the watermark, and then sell those as NFTs. And maybe I can rake in some of this dough. But but we'll get into it. First, let's start off at the beginning. First off, what is Web3 WP?
Yeah, sure. I'll start. Basically, over the last year, and the story goes back further, but I've really kind of been diving into kind of what's going on in the blockchain world. And of course, some of that was sparked by, you see every few years in the news, suddenly Bitcoin is reaching all-time highs, you know, and all these new crypto millionaires being made billionaires, you know, and I'm going, what is this? Why am I missing out on it? So this year I kind of really buckled down and just started digging into like, what is this underlying technology? You know, it doesn't seem to be going away. Every time you think it's done, then it comes back even bigger than before. So just really kind of wanted to get a good understanding of what is going on here. And so it's kind of a long story, the whole journey down there, but I started learning all about altcoins and, the world of DeFi, which means decentralized finance, and now just getting started in this NFT space. Honestly, I didn't have any understanding of what any of these things were at all.
Ooh, all right, good. I'm not the only one.
Yeah, for sure. But I think really what it comes down to is like you have like traditional use of blockchain, which is cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin that everyone is familiar with, right? But of course, underlying all that, you heard all these developers and geeky types saying, well, blockchain is going to change the world. You know, blockchain technology is going to do this and that. It's the future. And I always kind of thought about that as like, what is this? You know, some utopia for the nerds. You know, it doesn't really make sense to me what the practical use cases are. And so I think really it's pretty new to me and new to Josh, too. This project really is something we launched to kind of explore these themes and topics together. So basically I've come to the conclusion, and a lot of other people in tech are starting to come to this conclusion too, that seeing past these fads like NFTs and cryptocurrencies and things like that, and actually seeing the underlying blockchain and decentralized app technology and what its actual potential is, you know, to revolutionize how all tech works, how the internet works, how ecosystems work, how finance works, how governance works. I mean, there's just so much that it's touching and so many things that it looks like it will be the solution to, you know? So Really, the idea was founding this Web3 WP project was that it's a chance for us to explore it deeper, and it's a chance for us to like introduce this to the WordPress community specifically. So that's the niche that we know. This is the community that we're a part of, you know, for many years now. And so instead of trying to get in some crypto world, crypto community where everyone already knows about this stuff, we thought it'd be really cool to build some practical experiments, practical projects, and eventually maybe products even that can really introduce the WordPress community to this new Web3 technology. And they call it Web3 because, I mean, you know,
I've heard a lot of these technologies centered around, like, this is the Web 3.0, and I imagine it's not going to have as many pre-gradient generators or making things shiny or rounded buttons, and just probably we're not going to go through the experience of missing vowels and domain names all over again.
Right. Yeah. I think probably it'd be good to kind of cover what we mean by Web 3 and what I think the mainstream thought of what they're calling Web 3 is. So basically, Web 1.0 is what you'd call like the read-only internet. So that was the early days of the internet.
And days of learning Dreamweaver.
Yes, exactly. Dreamweaver, you know, basic
front HTML. Page.
Yep. I had my GeoCities AOL website.
Notepad.
My first website. Exactly. Yeah. So basically, I mean, it was exciting, this whole new internet thing, but really it was kind of read only. You know, you had to be a geek if you wanted to put up a website or some content. Even all the major websites out there were pretty much just read only, you know, static site that you're visiting to get some content, you know. So it's putting more information on the internet, which was revolutionary, but it didn't allow normal people to publish also on the web. So then we saw, like, in the early 2000s, the beginnings of Web 2.0, which is more like a read-write web. So it allowed the internet to be more interactive. You know, they had technologies like Ajax and stuff that made user interfaces a lot easier. I remember Gmail when that came out compared to like Yahoo Mail or something, like how revolutionary it was.
To me, during that time, one of the big things that came out that was really revolutionary, and I heard about all this stuff about Ajax and what it stood for, and it was going to revolutionize the web, and it kind of really did. It actually fulfilled on its hype was Google Maps. That was the big one for me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, of course, WordPress falls into that category big time. WordPress, Facebook, MySpace. Yeah,
blogging.
Like, everything became interactive. And, like, Aaron and I have been friends since, what, fifth grade, sixth grade? And Aaron has always had more of a technical bent than myself. The first time I got into this stuff was probably around the MySpace timeframe and just breaking sites with copy and paste HTML stuff, you know.
So that was a great way to learn.
yeah, for sure. Those MySpace templates.
Yeah, exactly. Putting music that automatically played when the site came up, and motion graphic backgrounds and GIFs and stuff.
Yeah.
And as we've seen, the results of Web 2.0 and all these services and communities and online social spaces and social media that's popped up. Now we've got a bunch of walled gardens and a lot of major tech companies that are controlling a lot of things. And one of the big words around Web 3.0 is decentralization. How does that fit into Web 3.0 and the continued evolution of the web?
Well, the thought is we've given, you know, all our data, so much of our privacy to all these big tech companies. So we've seen all kinds of problems, you know, whether it's censorship, whether it's just the privacy implications, whether it's like government things, you know, like China or other governments being able to censor things. There's a lot of things that have come up out of this. And also, I think part of it too is the creator economy. So we have this whole new world of creators, like YouTubers, podcasters, bloggers, whatever it is, social media influencers. And when you actually calculate, like they produce all this content, when you actually calculate how much of a percentage of the value of that content they get, it's tiny compared to the big tech companies, you know. It's at best, it's like 10%, something like that, you know. So kind of one of the cores of Web 3.0 is decentralization, which means you don't have to trust anymore. This blockchain technology makes it so you don't have to trust a big organization. You don't have to trust the government. You don't have to trust other people even, because everything is controlled by economic incentives, which is really fascinating.
And I guess on that topic of trust, I think it was OpenSea. There's recently a person that was working for OpenSea or one of these NFT listing websites, and they had behind the scenes access to what was going to be published on the front page. And what they were doing was buying these NFTs before everybody else. It was kind of like insider trading kind of, but they were buying these NFTs before everybody else. And then as they would hit the front page during the spikes of popularity, they would sell them and they were making a profit. And people did was they used his wallet address, and they're able to use that to track his purchases among the blockchain, and they could piece together what he was doing. And then the company came out and finally said, we've updated our policies. This is unacceptable. This is not what we want. This is totally not what we're going for. And it was kind of the example of the trust that's built into using blockchain technology.
Yeah, that is an interesting thing is with the blockchain, everything's tied to like a public cryptographic key.
Right.
So it's kind of your choice if you want to share what your key is, or if that's going to be public where people can attach it to your name or a real world identity or not. But once it is, any transactions you make on the blockchain, it's all public for anyone to see, you know, forever. It can never be erased, you know, or hidden. So that kind of allows like an amazing amount of trust, because every transaction is public and no one can change it, which is how a lot of these decentralized apps, how Web3 works. But at the same time, it gives you an option for privacy too, when you want to do things that you don't feel that anyone should know. You know, it's, you don't have to provide that connection between your keys and your identity.
And when we speak about the creator economy, that's mostly what I'm seeing now around NFTs, is the artwork, the artist, that these people are now creating collections and doing artwork where they don't have to mess with a DeviantArt. They don't have to go through an art collection agency or whatever. All these people are managing and dealing with art and having it auctioned off through the blockchain, through these cryptocurrencies, through networks like OpenSea, and there's other blockchains like Tezos and what's going on over there. It's pretty interesting to see. And it again comes back to decentralization. These people are doing it on their own, and these artists are spread throughout the internet and throughout the world. And there seems like most of them are making a decent living doing it so far, because a lot of this artwork I'm seeing is going for a pretty penny.
Yeah, it really unlocks a whole new world of monetizing like your creations, you know, whether it's audio, whether it's art, whether it's even writing, blogging, whatever it may be, you know.
Up to this point, I've described NFT as digital artwork, JPEGs, but what can be an NFT, which stands for non-fungible token. I hope I said that right, but fungible, by the way, it's such a cool word to say, non-fungible token.
Yeah.
But what could be considered an NFT? Is it just artwork, or can it be other digital assets?
And it can be anything. I mean, you can kind of think of it more as like not the asset itself, but a certificate that proves that this is the real asset, or that this is the real owner of the asset, current owner of the asset. So that's really what it is. It's kind of a receipt that everyone can trust. So I kind of give the example on our website that, like, what if you were some rich person or whatever, and you bought the Mona Lisa, you know, there's one of a kind painting, right? Who knows how many millions of dollars that's worth. But how do you prove to other people that this is the real one? If you want to sell it, if you want to show it off, whatever. The only way is if both you and other people have some third party that they both trust, that's an expert and can examine it and say, okay, this is the real thing, right? And so NFTs kind of provide that ability in the digital world, which was never possible before. Because, I mean, if you're a professional painter, maybe you could copy the Mona Lisa and trick someone to believing it's real, you know, but in the digital world, you just right click and save as an image file, and it's exactly the same quality that it was before, you know? So how can you prove that this image file or this thing that you created or someone else created is the real thing, the real original thing? And that's what NFT technology really solves in the digital world. And it had never been solved before this.
So what you guys are doing is you're creating a WAPU NFT collection. Tell us how this is going to be created and what its purpose is.
Yeah. Well, I think something that's really important to note about Web3 WP is we see this more from a space of experimentation at this point,
right,
and not as much of a investing platform. We're not trying to get people to buy into something that they don't understand or know about, but what we're trying to do is lower the barrier to entry.
Well, so, I'm glad you said that. I think one of the coolest things about this is that for people like me who may be paying attention to NFT or kind of on the fringes with it, I think this kind of introduces a way for people in the WordPress space who are on the fringes to get involved with what NFTs are. Maybe it's not as risky as participating in maybe some other projects.
Right, right. And it may not end up being as lucrative, but what we're trying to do by having this on-ramp space is some people will pay to buy into it because they believe in the project. Some people won't have the resources to be able to do that, and they'll still be able to participate in the project. We're going to make as much of the code base as available as we can on Git, and we're trying to build a community up around the technology so that we can continue these experiments, because currently we see this as still a distant. It's close, it's here now and everything, but there's also a distance between this being mainstream. And one of the big hurdles is just the fact that people don't even know how to set up a wallet at this point, or they don't have a wallet. And a lot of this hinges on tying your identity to a wallet, right? And so selling in e-commerce or these bigger ideas of security and logging into accounts and setting your personal avatars and identities with these wallets only works if people have wallets, right? And so at this level, we're just trying to get people acquainted with those things. We're trying to use the WAPUs as a way of inviting them to participate with things they already understand. And so that would be art, collecting, and trading, right? You go to a WordCamp in person when they were still, you know, thriving and going, and hopefully they come back someday, and you would walk booth to booth and collect these, you know, pins and other swag, you know, that you're collecting, and you got all these t-shirts laying around and you got all this stuff. NFTs would transform the way that we engage in even in-person settings, not just virtually online. So imagine you being able to purchase your ticket, verify your ticket on location, get airdrop things during that time, get your collectible stuff, be able to validate that you were there, and then the ongoing sponsors being able to communicate back going, hey, I want to give you a year trial of our membership. And so some of what we're doing with the NFT stuff by having the branded sponsorships is we're playing around with these ideas of what would be possible if we were in an in-person setting, or if you were doing a hybrid setting, which I think is going to become an even more real thing. as time goes on, because of whether it's from disabilities and other things that keep people from health reasons, keeping them from being able to attend events. And you have these things happening, but they still are able to participate then in the swag and the other parts of the event without attending the event.
I'm glad you mentioned swag and this idea you're bringing up with in-person events and NFTs and whatnot, because you know I've attended many work camps and I've got lanyards up the yin yang and I've got I've got pins. Swag and shirts and pins and all that stuff and pins, you know, all that stuff is cool, but if you attend many of these work camp events, you end up getting swag overload. And it seems like by perhaps going the NFT route, it could give swag more shelf life, because maybe you could, the sponsors or somebody could change the messages or coupons over time, or it could decrease the physical impact that these work camp events had, because you wouldn't have to make so much physical swag. So maybe it would cut down on waste and help out the environment. I see a lot of potential there with NFTs.
Yeah. And I think some of the fun stuff that I'll let Aaron talk about, because he's way more familiar with the governance side of this. But could you imagine your participation in those events being given tokens for that kind of stuff, your participation in the community, your participation in code contribution, your participation, all being awarded with these virtual tokens that give you buy-in to the community that would then allow you to participate in other ways with decision-making and other stuff. So there's these bigger ideas that we know are further off, and we don't want to call, hey, invest in a WAPU. We're talking about, no, invest in the idea of the community. Let's explore these opportunities that are bound to change the way that we interact with the internet, similar to how Web 2.0 did. And we don't even think about it anymore. But Web 2.0 has been primarily dominated by either, like you said, big corporations or the privileged. And this allows for the decentralization of that. But still, we recognize that even jumping into Web 3.0 is very difficult at this point. And again, has such a high barrier to entry with cryptocurrencies rising so high, NFT prices rising so high, the, you know, compared to USD and the buy-in that it takes. And so we're just trying to create a safer place to explore that stuff, you know?
And I'm glad you guys are reiterating that this is more of about an exploration. Sorry about that. An exploration of things, of ideas. It's not a moneymaker. It's that you're not doing this primarily for investment. It's about exploring ideas and let's see what happens. And this is a, we could use WAPU as a way to experiment and explore. And one of the, I want to talk about the elephant in the room when it comes to WAPU. For those who don't know, WAPU is the unofficial official mascot of WordPress that was created. And WAPU is licensed under the GPL. So it has the same freedoms as WordPress, but it gets a little wishy-washy because WAPU is an image and the GPL is a software license. So how that works with WAPU is kind of a weird gray area. And with the freedoms that the GPL license entails for WordPress, you know, we assume that those freedoms are applied to WAPU, whereas you could use it and for this way or that way, it's free, it's open source, you could share it, you can modify it for your own use. But when you look at NFTs, and you know, I think of NFTs as something that's unique, something that's yours, something you own that you don't want to modify, that you don't want to share, that you have as your own. That's where I think some people have an issue with turning WAPU into an NFT. So let's what's your guys' take on this?
It's definitely tricky. I mean, as far as like licenses are really, it's a something that's enforced by a government, right? You have like a central authority that you trust that, okay, this copyright, this trademark, or this license that if they violate it, you could sue them in the government courts and then hopefully, you know, win. So NFTs are kind of something outside that, and the fact that it's all in the blockchain and there's no necessarily legal thing. It's just this, the central source of truth that everyone trusts because it's programmed into the code.
I mean, is NFT a distinct difference from intellectual property?
Yeah, definitely. So intellectual property, as I said, is tied to basically government laws. And then an NFT is tied to the blockchain. And really what an NFT is it's the provenance of an item. So it's not necessarily the intellectual property or a license or a copyright or a trademark, but it's an actual, you're buying a certificate that says this is the only one in the original. And that's basically how it works. Right. So you're buying the provenance that's created by the original creator, and that's where the value is in something, because anyone can right click and save any NFT, you know, and use it somewhere else. And maybe it's copyrighted, maybe it's not, maybe it's licensed in a certain way that's tied to the blockchain. So there's been a few projects that have been made to try to create like an NFT license. So various NFTs created by different organizations have had different kinds of licenses or things that they tried to attach to it, you know, giving people rights who own it to do this or that. But there's no real standard yet. So definitely, I mean, part of this is we're thinking about, okay, GPL and NFTs, like, is that there may be some controversy there, but at the same time, we're definitely respecting the GPL license in the actual smart contract of this NFT. The GPL license is actually going to be hard coded there on the blockchain. So everyone knows GPL, and anyone knows that if they make a derivative work off of it, that it has to be GPL also.
And the other things, like the tension of this space is not past me or Aaron. Like my primary function in any company that I work with from a marketing perspective, but even past that, is in the artistic space. So I do my own original art. I do a lot of that stuff. And so what I don't want to do is steal somebody else's art for my own purpose. What I do want to do is use something that is recognizable to try and raise awareness about a new kind of technology that we can play around with and invest our time in and get other people involved with in a way that's kind of creative and exciting. And we're also adding and incorporating our own designs into that. We're not just posting up a bunch of the yellow WordPress, you know, WAPUs. We're making changes to the, you know, what it's wearing in the backgrounds and the accessories and that kind of stuff. But all of that stuff is going to be additional artwork that we've put together and put time into and invested our time and resources into. But outside of that, yeah, if there's 100% attention around that, and we're avoiding trademarked things, like we're not using the WordPress logo.
Which I think was very smart.
Yeah. We asked what the foundation, and didn't hear back, and they're probably busy and have their own things going on. But we did ask the foundation for permission to do that. And I think because it's so new, and they probably, or I would assume the people checking that stuff wouldn't necessarily be super familiar with what we were trying to do or accomplish. And because it is so far out, they may want to just avoid the controversy of the topic as well. So I get it. You know,
I think overall, not using the WordPress trademark is super beneficial. To it just eliminates that possibility of it being an issue.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah,
true. For but sure. At the same time, like, one of the benefits of doing this is I think that it can add value to the WordPress community and ecosystem. You know, it's kind of it merges two worlds, the whole NFT crypto world with the WordPress world, you know, and kind of can give some more visibility to WordPress and the community. So,
and by the way, for listeners out there, these are not two gentlemen who just came out of nowhere, who just decided to pick up WAPU and this is what they're going to do with it. Aaron Edwards is the CTO of InkSub, a well-known, well-established company in the WordPress space. And Josh Daly is the CMO of Infinite Upload. So these two gentlemen have been in the WordPress space for a while. They know about WAPU. They know about the intricacies. They know about the GPL. They know about the community. And they're in a very good position to do an experiment like this.
Right. A lot of this stuff is trust, right? And the NFT blockchain things that Aaron and I even sat yesterday and had a conversation about this, like, it's really important to us that people don't think we're doing a pump and dump thing where it's you go create, which is a big deal with this art, these art projects, lots of promises, under deliver. What we're trying to avoid is over promising things and under delivering. We want to under promise and over deliver. And at the end of the day, this just leads from one thing to the next thing, to the next thing that we're able to continue exploring. And someday it may turn into products for us that will be branded products. But the initial project that we're doing, the Web3 WP side of stuff, is not going to, that's going to stay an open community project.
I got to say, some of the special edition WAPU designs that I've seen are pretty darn cool. What ever since the news has gotten out about this project, what has the reception been like from the WordPress community? And how many, we don't have to name the companies. I think that might spoil what people can expect with the special edition WAPUs. Actually, companies can sponsor. There's different sponsors you can purchase where you can actually get like a WAPU that's designed around your company. You can get them involved in this collection. What's the reception been like from the community and companies who want to get involved with this experiment?
It's been pretty interesting. We kind of came up with the idea, what if we had some one-off, you know, WAPUs in this collection that are special design? And we thought, I bet some companies, I mean, so many WordPress companies already have their own WAPUs. So we thought it'd be great if we could partner with them and have them include their WAPUs in this collection, because then it adds like some even more collectible items, much rarer, you know, that people might want to collect or get their hands on. And also it kind of gives some unique publicity and stuff to other companies. And it allows us to really bring them on at the beginning and partnering with this Web3 project. A lot of them, they just maybe feel like, well, I've been hearing all this stuff about dApps and Web3 and NFTs, but I don't really understand it or know. And then you have all these other people that are saying this is the future of the internet. I just kind of want to know what it's about and learn, you know? So this is kind of an opportunity for them to jump in and join the community as we do these experiments and share our findings and code and on our blog and different things like that. It's kind of an education opportunity for them as they're getting in.
Now there's going to be in this collection, it was 1,234 unique WAPUs, but now you guys have bumped it up to I think it's 2,222. And let's say I'm a company and I go through and I purchase sponsorship and I get my, either have a WAPU design or I get it designed from you guys and it gets put into the collection. There's no guarantee that's going to be minted, right? Minted as in created and then be part of the blockchain.
Yeah, I mean, we're committed to getting all these WAPUs minted, all 2,200, but obviously we can't necessarily guarantee. But I mean, eventually, if we have to make them completely free or whatever, then we'll do that. We just want to get them out there in the community, you know.
I tell you what, if I had the money, I'd be all over this. I'd want my WAPU in there. I think this is a cool idea.
Yeah, thanks.
And I'm very close to actually getting a wallet set up just so I can mint one WAPU and I can start participating in this NFT movement and actually start, you know, trading or looking at WAPUs and finally getting involved in this space. Cause I think one way or another, I'm going to have to learn through participation or whatever to the NFTs, blockchains and cryptocurrency. I'm going to have to get involved some way. And this seems like the perfect ground floor opportunity for me.
Exactly. And that's kind of what we want. You know, once you have that wallet set up, once you have a little bit of ether in it, then that unlocks a whole new world of being able to connect to and use all these decentralized apps that are out there. and ones that we'll be building for a WordPress community soon.
So if those who are listening who want to get involved with this, who want to mint a WAPU, kind of describe the process. I mean, first of all, you got to get a wallet, right?
Yeah. So any, they call it like a Web3 compatible wallet. There's tens.
I know you guys mentioned, I think it's MetaMask, the browser extension.
Yeah, that's kind of the go-to, probably the most popular one out there. So it's a free browser extension. You just install it, and it makes it pretty user-friendly to create your first public-private key pair, and then you write down the seed phrase, which is basically your secret password that you never, ever share with anyone. And you write it on a piece of paper and lock it away somewhere. And then that's your entry to the world of crypto, the world of Web3.
And I believe that wallet is hooked up to the Ethereum blockchain? And how much money are we looking at to invest or to purchase Ethereum in order to mint one of these WAPUs when the minting process is available?
Yeah, when we start, we're planning on having the mint price at 0.02 ETH. So, of course, the price of that cryptocurrency is always changing day by day. So it definitely varies, like in what the value is in your local currency. But that's kind of the starting point. And then in addition, to use the network, the blockchain network, you have to pay what's called a gas fee. So gas fees are basically like a little incentive that you have to add on to every transaction, which helps all the miners and all the computers around the world that are running that blockchain. It gives them incentive to actually include your transaction. So gas fees used to be almost nothing. Lately, with the NFT boom and cryptocurrency boom, we've had some crazy spikes, like to where it could be hundreds of dollars, and I call them gas wars. Like sometimes when some of these NFTs drop and everyone's fighting to get a limited amount, and they're all setting huge amounts of gas to try to get their transaction process first, you know, it's crazy. So we're really working hard to lower the gas as much as possible. So one thing we did is I've been working on our smart contract, and I'm using the most optimized and doing all kinds of tests to make the smart contract for the NFT make the smallest gas fee possible. And also we're planning to launch on Saturday, next Saturday, the 25th, because historically gas prices are much, much lower on weekends.
Mm. Did you say you're planning on opening up at 0.02 ETH?
What? 0.02.
Oh, 0.02. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So that was an interesting decision in itself, because a lot of these NFT projects, it's probably ranges from 0.04 to 1 to 3 ETH, which is crazy. That's like
$10,000. So that looks like about it looks like $72 right now, and that's without the gas
price, yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that's kind of our plan at launch. And really that's just to raise kind of our initial funds so we can work on these next projects. I'm already started on our second project, which I'm much more excited about. This first one really is just, as we said, it's an intro to get people onboarded. It's to raise awareness about kind of this project and also hopefully provide just a little bit of the seed funding we need to work on these next projects.
Well, you've mentioned the term a few times, and I think we need to explain what it is. What is a smart contract?
All right, smart contract. So basically, Bitcoin was the first blockchain, and it pretty much can only be used for cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, trading it around. Ethereum came up with this idea that what if you could put a little piece of programming language, like a little application, on the blockchain, and then anyone can interact with that. And that's called a smart contract. And it can be really hard to wrap your head around, but basically imagine it's an app that's deployed into the blockchain, and then anyone can interact with it. So an NFT is...
That kind of sounds like an API.
Yeah, it's basically an API, but it's decentralized. So no one can block it, control it, and you can include any kind of logic in it. So They've used these to create tokens, so anyone can create their own basically coin. You know, you could have the WP mainline coin that people could invest in, and you can set the rules in the smart contract for how they're minted and distributed and passed out to people, you know. And it's amazing the kind of possibilities that come from these smart contracts. NFTs is just one of the innovations that has become mainstream, you know.
And these smart contracts are exactly the technology that would allow, in fact, you guys allow this with sponsorships where they can actually put a coupon code or a discount or a message or link to a product within the smart contract, right?
Yeah, exactly. I've actually included a cool little Easter egg in our smart contract for the Hapus, and it will be possible after they're minted, we're going to release the ability to rename your Wapu. So, say you buy a Wapu, you can actually interact directly with the smart contract and save into the blockchain your custom Wapu name. And that Wapu name will be tied to the NFT for all time. Like, as it's, even if it's sold or traded or bought, that custom name is attached to it as it goes. So that's just kind of one little possibility that you could see with some of this stuff.
Man, it'd be kind of cool to go to a WordCamp, and then by going to the WordCamp, like in person, be able to get a Wapu design that's just for that, but get it as an NFT, and only those who showed up in person can get it to their wallet. You're able to mint it something to that effect.
Definitely something we want to explore.
And speaking of smart contract, that goes back to the discussion we were having earlier about sponsorships and swag and how that could really be part of sponsorships and how companies interact with WordPressers going forward with this new way of reaching out to potential customers.
Yeah, there's lots of potential there.
There's experiments everywhere you look.
Yeah, exactly. I have a whole list to work on. One thing, there's a project out there called POAPS, POAP, which stands for Proof of Attendance something. Protocol, I think. And basically you can tie like an event ticket or whatever to an NFT. So if someone attends a WordCamp, then it gives their wallet exclusive access to mint an NFT, which is basically a little badge or certificate that proves that you attended that. And that's something that resides on the blockchain and that you can show off like in your profile or different things like that. And, is there for all eternity, you know?
And imagine me sitting here like, hey, that Wapu design looks awesome, but it was for a WordCamp on the other side of the world. There's no way I'd ever have a chance to go there in person. Let me check the directory, OpenSea, whatever, see if any of them are available on the blockchain for auction, if anybody's selling them. And oh, look, there it is. And then I can purchase it. You know, I can grab it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Digital swag. We think this may be the first WordPress digital swag. So kind of excited about that.
Oh man, that sounds cool. So now you mentioned that half of royalties go to the WordPress Foundation. And you mentioned that you've been in touch with the WordPress Foundation. Have they approved this? Are they fine with receiving half of these royalties? And in addition to that, the way this works, you mentioned that as the Wapus continue their life on the blockchain, each time a transaction occurs where the Wapu prominence switches hands, the WordPress Foundation and Web3P will continue to benefit.
Yeah, that's something that we thought. I mean, we want to give back, you know, to WordPress too through this. And we thought that would be a cool way of doing it. A lot of the marketplaces like OpenSea, which is probably the main one for Ethereum network, they provide the ability, if you own the smart contract, to add a royalty percentage. And this is kind of one of the revolutionary things about NFTs is creators like artists, not only can they sell their art, they can also attach in the logic of the smart contract a royalty so that anytime it's sold or used in the future, then automatically royalties are distributed to them, you know, instead of relying on
an agent or something, the middleman, some middleware.
Exactly. That's nice. Enforced in the smart contracts. You're not having to depend on anyone in between, you know? So there's various standards for that that are still being worked out for NFTs, but we're definitely setting that up for the major marketplaces. So if people sell or buy these WAPUs, these collectible WAPUs in the future, that's our hope, is that it's going to take off and it's going to become a real collectible, you know, for people to buy and sell and collect the more rare ones, because different WAPUs will have more rare traits. The traits will be weighted so that they'll have ones that are much more common and ones that have much rarer traits. And so they'll be more collectible and possibly even more valuable, you know? So yeah. Anytime those trades happen, then royalties, we're going to give half of those royalties to the WordPress Foundation. So,
man, it'd be cool if I minted a WAPU and it came with it looks like one of them has a flannel shirt. I'd like the one with the flannel shirt and the trucker hat. Give that WAPU to me, man. That'd be cool with that cool hair. But so tell us, tell us a little bit about this collection of WAPUs. I know you mentioned this earlier about traits, but is it just caps, hair? I mean, did you guys just set up a collection of elements for different parts of the WAPUs and you put them all in the system and it's just randomly generates a WAPU? And is there any chance of duplicates?
Yeah, so I actually created a script that basically have a lot of like image layers. I could look up what they actually are, but we have different traits like headgear, hats or hair. Then we have like skin color. Then we have background color. And then we have like the item that they're holding, whether it's a ball or a guitar or whatever it may be. Clothing, also like accessories, jewelry, things like that. So those are all different layers of traits. And then the script actually combines those all in a completely random way to create unique WAPUs. And then it actually goes through and gives them each a weight. So we'll say like the WAPU that has this certain character, only 1% of them are going to have this specific clothing type, you know, or only 0.05% of them might have this skin color, you know. That way some can be like even more rare, just like when you open a pack of Pokemon cards or baseball cards. You never know what you're going to get.
The rare, right? Inserts.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's kind of the same thing. It helps like give the collection like more fun in collecting, and also gives kind of that surprise value when you're minting. You don't know what you're going to get. You may get a one of a kind. You may get one that's very rare. You may get one that's a little more common, you know? So that was all set up in the code that generates all these WAPUs randomly based on the traits that Josh has been developing.
Yeah. And then the completes, like when you look at the ones that are fully matching across, we're going to create one-offs of those that there will for sure be a full like pirate one or a full, you know, rocker one or whatever. Those ones, there will be for sure ones of those in that 22. It's been fun because I look at these layers and you start seeing different parts of it go together, and you end up getting one with like pirate boots and a clown nose, and you're like, oh, that is so random. But it's like a toy box or a dress up box. I have kids, you know, they come out with an Iron Man mask and a Frozen Elsa dress on, you know.
Well, it's like the only way you would see a WAPU design like this is through generative art this.
So. Yeah, exactly. And so we'll have ones that are completes that are very rare because they're one or only one or two in the collection, and they're very different. And then you'll just have some of the randomly generated stuff. But all the layers, it takes a lot of work because each layer has to work and function with all the other layers. So, and right now I think we're pushing towards 100 different traits that can be distributed across to all the things. So every one of your combinations can be unique, but all of those traits have to work because we don't know what's going to be the output at the end of the day.
Yeah. Well, are those traits nullified? You don't have to worry about them if it's a special edition one-off, like sponsored WAPU by a company, because it's already complete.
Right. We're not taking their traits and integrating those ones. These are ones that we're creating customizing for the generative ones.
Yeah, and we're using a random number generator to decide like where those special edition ones are going to end up in the collection, you know, whether it's going to be number 3 or number 1000, you know, whatever. We want to make sure that that's fair. So we're that's going to be totally controlled by computer, like where those get placed in the collection.
You know how I can trust you guys and I know that you're on the right track is by looking at your sponsorship tiers. You've got Wapruneer, you've got DevPoo and Bossu in terms of how you name your different tiers. You know, how can I not trust a WordPress centric experiment? I mean, those are pretty cool names. I'm a Wapu. I can't even say the word, but it's so good. But okay, so is it too late, or can companies still get involved if they're even at the lowest level, $500, individuals can get involved if you want to get involved with sponsorship?
Yeah, it's not too late. We'll take you as late as we can. But yeah. I mean, even if you miss getting into the collection, we'll definitely like keep sponsorships open, and we have other upcoming projects in the pipeline that people can get involved in, you know.
Oh, wow. So is there, I guess before we wrap it up here, give us a little inside info on sort of the next project you're experimenting with, the one that you're excited Ooh. About.
Yeah, sure. I think Aaron's going to have to lay into this one because it's pretty, it's pretty amazing. It's a governance experiment. So,
yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of different potential things. Like one of the things that this Web3 technology has unlocked is new forms of governments. So I don't know if you've heard the phrase DAO, D-A-O, which means decentralized autonomous organization.
I've seen Chris Wallace using it on Twitter, but I'd have no idea what DAO means.
Exactly. So example, Chris Wallace, he created a DAO that's a collective of artists and developers and things like that in that NFT space. And DAOs are basically the new business, the new organization model in this new world of Web3. So instead of having a government, instead of having a business that's incorporated, you know, as an LLC or a C corp, and then bylaws that are legally written and enforced by the laws of a nation, you know, you create all that in the smart contract on the blockchain. So you have everything encoded as to who gets what percentage of the votes, how initiatives are proposed and how they're voted for and decided on, how the way people contribute to a project, how that automatically distributes the tokens so their contributions are monetized or distributed in a way that gives them more governance voting rights in the organization. So it's crazy, this whole new world that Web3 is unlocking. And I really believe strongly that that is the new business model. People will say, I work for a DAO, or I'm a member of a DAO, instead of I work as an employee for this company. So that's one of the things that we definitely want to explore when it comes to WordPress. We know WordPress governance has been a huge topic and controversial topic over recent years. And this whole world of Web3 unlocks the potential to connect some of these things in an automated fashion, trustless fashion, to where people who contribute to the project, who add the most value to the project, are also the people who get to decide the project's direction or get rewarded monetarily based on their contributions in the project. So that's kind of a whole can of worms that we have to dig into.
You know how you know you're in an interesting and very cool space where you can experiment is when you're messing around with technologies that other people are in and have been validated, but you tell it to somebody and they say, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah.
That's most of our conversations. Aaron's explaining something to me and I sit there and go, wow, that is too wonderful for me to know, but I'm along for the ride because I trust you, you know?
Yeah. So project number two after this Wapu one, I'll just give some hints as to what we're working on. So it is NFT based, but the idea is a project to incentivize WordPress's growth by rewarding contributors. So every time a new version of WordPress comes out, there's a whole list of all the people that contributed to that version of WordPress, right? And there's actually an API where you can pull that information. So we're creating a project that is actually going to provide something to those contributors that they can use either to show off or that they can use to possibly get value and monetize the contributions that they made to those versions of WordPress. So I don't want to give too much away, but it's really exciting.
Man, a new way to monetize open source.
Yes.
Because that's always been a big discussion of who pays for open source. And not too many people, a lot of the individuals pay for it through their blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah.
Right. Which has become a bigger, it's become a bigger tension point though, because we've been talking about this. Is how many times have you seen a tweet go out where somebody's like, if you had sponsor money to contribute, where would you sponsor at? What would you do? What would you contribute? In what way would you do that? And so that constantly is a question that keeps popping up. And obviously ours would again be experimental and hopefully lead to something that would be much more valuable for people going forward. But I think what ends up happening is that contributing, like you said, it either costs a lot of blood, sweat, and tears for some, or it does become monetized in a way with where bigger organizations begin deciding the direction. And it becomes less and less decentralized and becomes a centralized thing where the bigger companies are funding volunteer work with their own employees. So it drives in a direction that gives them the most benefit at the end of the day.
I think you'd be hard pressed to not have people think that that's what's been happening over the years between Automatic and Gutenberg. It certainly seems that way. I mean, there's contributions from a lot of people from a lot of different orgs and volunteers, but by and large, it's been the introduction of Gutenberg into WordPress and who's funded the most development and work and has actually now hired people to ease in transitions between different editors and full site editing of blocks. It's been Automatic. They're behind it also.
And that's what Web3 technology has the potential to unlock. So you can encode incentives into a project and governance in a project into a blockchain where it's trustless, where everyone can see it's in code, you know? And so it just unlocks a whole new world of how you can use economic incentives and different things like governance incentives to guide a project in a whole new way.
Well, I want to thank you guys for being on the show. How can people interested in this WAPU NFT project, where can they go to learn more?
Yeah, if they want to just jump over to web3wp.com is our website, and there's a section on there specifically about that. We're also trying to build out blog content. It's going to take time, but we're creating tutorials and things, and obviously we'll have other means for communication, but primarily right now we're communicating on Twitter at Web3WP as well.
Yeah, I think if you, for the blog portion of like Web3WP, just an exploration of content and ideas and experiments that you guys are looking at, and even just tutorials on how to set up a wallet and how to participate, and just maybe down the earth terms, like someone like me can explain as to what it means, what minting means, what NFT means, what these things mean. You know, the simpler the better, and I think it would just help onboard more people onto these types of experiments.
Yeah, I appreciate that feedback, because that's kind of the stuff. This we're kind of running at this fast and furious to get there. But
you're like, I don't have time to write about this. I got to experiment, man.
No, well we wanted to get more people involved in the community so we can get more feedback, and we're not just guessing at what people want. Right. Yeah. And so I think that kind of feedback is exactly what we need. And you're speaking my language for sure when you say that, simplifying, getting it so that people can do it. And like we said, whether you're going to purchase an NFT, whether you're going to get a wallet or not, everyone's welcome to the party. So come over. We're going to get a Discord set up soon as well for continued communication. We debated between Slack and Discord, just so you know, like just because a lot of WordPress happens on Slack, but Discord has the benefit that we can actually validate owners of NFTs. They have an option for that. And so we do want to value the members that are participating in that way and creating options for them to participate at different levels as well. So these are all things that are in the works, but you know, it takes time to get there. And the more feedback and community members that we get participating, the more likely it will be that we have something that's exciting for everybody at the end of the day.
Yeah, we'll be pushing out educational content and kind of instructions, and also we're gonna run some contests too, where you can get a free Wapu NFT just sent right to your wallet, because we're gonna reserve a certain amount at the beginning that we can just give away for free for contests and stuff like
right.
that.
Right.
So it sounds like Web3 WP right now is an exploration of Web 3.0 technologies with various experiments. But at the same time, as you get people involved and to come in and check out all this new stuff, you're also setting up a community of hopefully like-minded individuals who either want to get involved with the experiment or who are brand new, and everybody can learn together.
Yeah.
Boy, it reminds me of the WordPress of the early 2000s.
Well, I hope so. I hope that's what it becomes, is something that people feel a part of and not just something that we're out doing in a silo. I think that's kind of what's happened with Web3 to a degree, is that it was a silo because it was not accessible for people to participate in a lot of ways. Like Aaron's own story, I know you got to probably jump and run, but like Aaron's own story in kind of finding blockchain, years ago, 2015, was that what you had said?
14, yeah.
2014, he was working on it for MarketPress, you know, e-commerce solution at the time. And somebody had suggested Bitcoin as a payment method. And so he was trying to explore that, but the buy-in was so high that you're going like, oh man, do I really want to invest in you know, in your mind at the time, monopoly money and JPEGs, you know, overpriced JPEGs or whatever. It's really challenging. And so we want to drop that ceiling down. And especially by being able to give some of these away, hopefully they end up in hands of people who couldn't otherwise afford them, you know, and going like, oh, I set up a wallet, they gave me this NFT, and now I'm participating, but I didn't actually have to spend anything or invest anything to get there.
Yeah, I dig that. And, it'll be interesting to see where these experiments take you guys and your community, because, you know, one of the coolest things about this is you have a direction to explore, but you never know how it might detour into something completely different that's also cool, or some other problem that you eventually saw that you weren't even aiming for. That's the cool thing about these experiments.
Yeah, yeah. We've seen a lot of people leave the WordPress community for this new Web3 kind of silo, whether it's into the NFT world or crypto world. I mean, big names in WordPress have left. So we're hoping to kind of merge the two together so people can explore the future of what we think the internet is, and still use that in the WordPress space.
Well, I want to thank you too for joining me on the show today and giving us an insight in both the NFT world and this project. Again, for listeners out there, web3wp.com. I'll have links to that site in the show notes. We'll start with you, Aaron. How can people get a hold of you, get in touch with you, and follow your progress on what you're experimenting with?
Yeah, you can follow me at Ugly Robot Dev on Twitter, and we'll also be tweeting on Web3WP on Twitter. Those are probably the best ways. And you can also find on our website links to our GitHub and our blog, and that's where we'll be sharing some of the code and a lot of stuff that we'll be doing.
And Josh?
Yeah, on a personal note, you can follow me at Josh Daly on Twitter. Best space for me to be at. And then, like Aaron said, I'm participating in content creation for Web3's Twitter and our other venture. So,
All right, good. So I know who to go to. If you write a post that I have no idea, it's spinning my head, I'm going to go to you, man. I'm going to say, why? I don't understand this. Why?
Yeah. Come to me first, but then I'll probably go, if you don't understand it, it's probably Aaron. Because Aaron's the technical one. So it's probably something super technical that I didn't write.
All right, everybody, that's going to do it for this episode of the WP Mainline podcast. You can find show notes for this episode and all other episodes on WPMainline.com. Just click the podcast link and they'll be right there. We'll talk to you again next week. Everybody, have a safe, enjoyable weekend. So long, everybody.